Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, from the letter of Paul to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians. Be reading just a bit from the beginning of chapter 12. Let us listen together for the word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's the start of the movie and TV awards season, and so, yes, I watched the Golden Globes last Sunday night. I feel it is my duty, what with all three of our children living in Los Angeles and trying to make a business in the film industry. Our eldest son, Chris, as an actor and screenwriter. Our daughter, Amy, as a film editor. And she did edit a full-length movie that just came out on Netflix. We rented it just to watch the credits. It was a bad movie. Not that bad. The editing was great. Our youngest son, David, is trying to earn a living as a freelance cinematographer, which is, yeah, the dude behind the camera. So we watch the awards shows, and we wait eagerly for that moment when the envelope is handed to the presenters, and with those words, and the award goes to, the winner is revealed. At that moment, we get to see perhaps the best acting of the season. The faces of the losers pretending to be happy for their colleague who just beat them out for that coveted trophy. I watch these shows, but I'm always bothered by the implication that one person deserves to be singled out as better than the others. Sure, it's nice to be acknowledged for doing a good job, but having to choose a winner? Why not honor all the people who are just trying to do their job well? To me, the category that makes the best sense is the one given for the best ensemble, which honors the way a group of actors works together for the whole. But even that award fails to acknowledge the rest of the people it takes to make a film or TV show. That's why our family always watches the entire list of credits at the end of every movie, just to acknowledge how many people it takes to make that movie, and to honor all those nameless folks, including our own kids, who make all the stars look so good. Well, what if the church followed the lead of the Golden Globes and Academy Awards and all those other award shows and only honored the people who were the best in any given year? Maybe next week, during the annual meeting, we could include our own Golden God Awards. And this year, the award for best preacher, musician, usher, Sunday school teacher, coffee hour server goes to... Yeah, never mind. I'll make us a competition, and the church isn't about that. It's just this kind of problem that the Apostle Paul was addressing in the first century when he wrote his letter to the new church in Corinth, Greece. Corinth, which is a seaport, had a teeming cosmopolitan population that included a large number of Greeks and Jews and Romans and people from all over the world at that time. The fledgling church had begun to reflect the disunity of the society in which it was immersed. The church had become divided, splitting into factions that competed with one another over the use of their gifts, instead of working together as Paul was urging them to do. In words that made his feelings crystal clear, Paul compared the church with the human body and wrote about the need for all the members of that body to work together. Paul emphasized that all the parts of the body were important. Everyone was needed. Everyone had a place, and it was also up to everyone to work together for the common good. The world around us is one where competition thrives, where it's dog eat dog. And where did that expression ever come from? We're encouraged to push toward being the top dog, number one, to succeed despite the toll it might take on our families and friends. Individualism is highly prized these days to the detriment of the whole team. The church, on the other hand, is supposed to be different. We are meant to discover our own gifts, but we are also responsible for discovering and promoting the gifts of all the members of the body. It's not a matter of who's best, but of finding what each of us does well and then working together. Now, that's one of the aspects I most love about the Presbyterian church system. Pastors aren't the ones in charge. The elders and deacons and pastors all work as a team. It's a system of checks and balances. And like all denominations, we are keenly aware that a church without volunteers is no church at all. Last week in the fellowship area out there, we had a festival of time and talents. Various committees and fellowship groups presented displays to convey their work and ministry. They lured us in with delicious treats. And we were all invited to learn more about the enormous number of activities that go on here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. When you fill out that time and talent survey, and if you haven't, do so, if only just as an exercise for yourself to think about where it is that you have gifts that can be used and given. As you fill out those forms, think carefully and pray over it. What is it that God wants you to do? What gifts do you have that help serve the whole body of Christ? Not only will you find fulfillment and blessing as you discover and use your own particular spiritual gifts, you will contribute to the health of the entire ensemble. Now, I often hear people say, what I do with my life is my own business, nobody else's. Everyone has a right to live their own life, but to say that what you do doesn't affect others is simply not true. Nobody lives in that kind of vacuum. How you live your life does matter. It matters deeply. How you live your life has a great effect on others, including people you don't even know. Take Lance Armstrong. As his story unfolded throughout the years, so much good came of his talents and efforts. He brought hope to people with cancer and raised an enormous amount of money for research. Everyone wanted to be on the Live Strong team. But now the truth has come out. His determination to be the best, to win at all costs, drove him to deceit of the worst kind. Armstrong abused not only his own body with drugs, but much worse, he contributed to the criminal activity of the whole body of cycling. His behavior has devastated thousands of people who believed in him. Now, Lance Armstrong would have been a hero even if he had not won a single Tour de France cycling tournament, simply by being a cancer survivor who brought hope and help to thousands of people. Instead, he used his life, he used his skills to live a life of destruction and deceit. What we do with our lives is our own business and doesn't affect anyone else. Not hardly. Paul wrote, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." For the common good. As Christians, we are part of a larger whole, one that works together for good for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we can do far more as a body of believers than any one of us can do on our own. We can use our gifts for good, we can use them for evil, or we can fail to use them at all, which is, in the long run, just as debilitating as using them the wrong way. Now, one of these years, I'd like to see something a little different at those annual awards shows. I'd like to see the interns who work behind the scenes for no money, no pay, get a little credit. I'd like to see the chefs who worked so hard cooking those meals come out and take a bow. I'd like to see the custodians and the garbage collectors get a standing ovation. Okay, I know what that means. It means it's time, Kathy, to wrap this up. Get on with worship. First, though, just for fun, I would like to present one award today. May I have the envelope, please? And this year, the Golden God Award for Best Christian in a Supporting Role goes to you. Take a bow, everyone. You deserve it. Let's pray. Lord, you call each of us to use our gifts because you have given us each something special that is to be used for the whole body of Christ. So may we discover our gifts and encourage them in others, and live as you have called us to live. The people of God in this time and place, the body of Christ in eternity. Bless us as we seek to be faithful to our calling, in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, Amen.